listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, diabetes prevention.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Wellness Wednesday, hosted by YKHC's Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. My name is Ray Peterson, and I will be your host for today. Before we immerse ourselves in our discussion, I would like to take some time to share some information about diabetes. So joining me today for this portion, please welcome my friend and colleague, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, do you mind letting our listeners know about your profession at YKHC?
Sure. I'm Jeremiah Britton. I'm one of the clinical diabetes educators at YK. I'm a registered dietitian and a certified diabetes educator. And I've been here almost 2 years trying to help combat the growth of diabetes.
Thank you, Jeremiah. So what can you tell our listeners about diabetes?
Basically, diabetes occurs when our bodies do not process blood sugar properly. And this results in high levels of glucose in the blood, also known as high blood sugar. And this happens when we eat a food, like a carbohydrate, whether it be an apple or some rice or a candy bar, our body converts that into blood glucose. And that blood glucose kind of goes through our blood system, and a hormone called insulin goes and grabs that blood sugar and brings it to the cells for energy, and the cells have energy and everything's good. What happens in diabetes is that insulin is supposed to grab the blood sugar. It's only grabbing a few. It's not grabbing as much as it could. So the cells don't get all the energy they need, and excess blood or excess glucose stays in the blood, which can cause problems down the road.
Is there just one type of diabetes?
No, there's three types of diabetes. Well, three main types of diabetes, I guess I should say. There's type 1, and that's where the beta cells in the pancreas, also known as the insulin-producing cells, are attacked by our own immune system and they die off, so they no longer produce insulin. Like, that's type 1. There's type 2, where our bodies just kind of don't respond to the insulin like it used to. A little bit of insulin resistance builds up, and that's called type 2 diabetes. And there's also gestational diabetes. And that is a little bit more mysterious. It's not really truly understood. All we know is that some of the hormones that are produced when someone is pregnant kind of have an anti-insulin effect, which can cause high blood sugars. This usually resolves once the baby's delivered, and most time blood sugars go back to normal.
Thank you, Jeremiah. A term that I've come across, too, is prediabetes. Did you mention that, or can you mention a little bit about what prediabetes is?
Sure, I can talk a little bit about prediabetes. Prediabetes is kind of a category known as high risk for development of diabetes. Your blood sugars aren't quite high enough to be categorized as diabetes, but there's starting to be some elevated blood glucose levels seen in some of the tests a doctor might prescribe. It's an excellent time to kind of start to shape up your diet, maybe increase activity to make sure you don't become a diabetic.
Okay, so with somebody with prediabetes, would that become type 1 or type 2?
They would become type 2 diabetic. Okay. Type 1 is kind of an autoimmune disorder. So it's something that's really hard to prevent, virtually impossible.
Thank you for clarifying. So are there certain groups of people that are more likely to develop diabetes?
Yeah. Anyone can develop diabetes, and it can affect people of all ages and backgrounds. But there are some known risk factors for diabetes, which include a family history, lack of physical activity, being overweight, and being over 40. And also a person's race or ethnicity can be a risk factor as well, especially for the people that are Alaskan Native, Native American, African American, Hispanic, Asian, or Pacific Islander.
Is this also, again, is this for type 1 or type 2 diabetes?
It is mainly for type 2 diabetes.
Okay. I was just asking. So now that our listeners know a little bit about the risk factors for diabetes and the difference between the types, what are some symptoms of diabetes?
Most of the symptoms from diabetes are caused by excess blood glucose. And usually people feel thirsty. They'll have blurry vision. They'll be extremely tired. They'll be urinating often. Sometimes they'll see cuts and bruises will be slow to heal. They'll also feel very hungry. They'll have tingling, pain sometimes in the extremities, and sometimes weight loss. And like I said, most of these are the result of having high blood sugar. So the body's natural way to get rid of excess blood sugar is for the body to pull out fluid and glucose out of the blood and excrete it through the urine. Well, if you're urinating a lot, you're going to be thirsty a lot. So you're going to be drinking and urinating a lot. You're going to be tired because your cells are not simply getting the energy they need. So if you look at it, it's all down to blood sugar.
Thank you. So you mentioned some of those symptoms, you know, being very thirsty, fatigue, cuts, bruises, slow to heal, and blurry vision. So what are the possible complications of having diabetes?
Well, most of the complications from diabetes come from long-term elevated levels of glucose. Easy way to describe this would be, imagine a hallway having 20 people in it. Everybody can walk through the hallway fine, no problem. But imagine if you throw 150 people in that same hallway. Everything's crowded. Their people are pushed up against the wall. They're probably going to do damage to that hallway, right?
Potentially, or each other.
Yeah, so it kind of that's how it works inside the blood vessels. Too much sugar just kind of damages the edges of the blood vessels. Another way to think of it is maybe you have a garden hose with water going through it. Water goes through it fine. Well, imagine our blood vessels as a water hose. Now imagine if you put sand in that water hose. It would start to degrade the inside of the water hose, right? That's kind of what excess levels of blood glucose do.
Okay, I'm starting to follow along.
And over time, the littlest blood vessels start to get damaged and kind of die off. And all the nerve cells and everything else they supply with nutrients kind of start to die off also. That is why we see some loss of sensation in the feet, neuropathy. Mm-hmm. That's why people have vision problems. That's why people have kidney problems. And people with diabetes are also increased risk for stroke and heart disease.
Thank you. So what are some ways that we can prevent diabetes so we don't have all of those complications or any of the symptoms?
Some of the best way is just to maintain a healthy weight and be active. You know, if you're overweight, consider changing your diet a little bit more. You know, cutting the calories down a little bit, cutting the carbohydrates down a little bit, making sure you get your annual A1C test at the doctor if you're over 40 or at increased risk for developing diabetes. You know, as long as, you know, we are active and we watch our diet, you should be pretty good. I tell people, the more water you drink, the more walking you do, the better you're going to be. Stay off those four-wheelers too much.
Thank you. So, if somebody gets diabetes, can they get rid of it or reverse diabetes?
You know, it kind of depends on what the physician says. Some people say that when you're diagnosed with diabetes, you have it forever. You just might be diet-controlled or exercise-controlled. If someone is diagnosed with diabetes and they start on medication, they can, you know, change their diet, they can become active, and maybe in time they can either lower their dose of medications or completely get off of medication. In my opinion, you're still a diabetic. You're just controlled with diet and exercise, which is ideally the best way to do it. But some people will always need medication.
And is diabetes a progressive disease, or does it just kind of stay static or
unfortunately,
stationary?
You know, it's not. It does kind of get worse as we get older. If you think about it, you know, rarely does our body get more efficient as we get older. Like maybe our minds do, but usually not our bodies. So a lot of times as we get older, we'll have to take more proactive steps to try to maintain our health.
Okay. So are the health complications of diabetes preventable, even if you have diabetes?
Yeah, there were studies years ago that kind of proved as long as you keep your A1C under 7, you're at lower risk for developing these complications. So if you are diabetic, checking your blood sugar and taking the right medication, watching your diet and being active are great ways to prevent some of these complications from arising.
Thank you, Jeremiah. That was definitely incredibly informative for both myself and our listeners. So again, thank you for your time. You are much appreciated. And to our listeners just joining us, you are listening to the Wellness Wednesday, hosted by YKHC's Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. I am Ray Peterson, and I will be your host for today. On that note, I would like to inform you that today's show is pre-recorded, and we will be unable to take any calls at this time. If you do have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact the Diabetes Department at 907-543-6133 or email us at diabetes_program@ykhc.org. The number again is 907-543-6133. So, in the studio today, albeit remotely with me, is Trina Stewart from Campfire Alaska in Anchorage. Welcome to Wellness Wednesday, Trina.
Hello, good afternoon, Ray.
Hello, do you mind introducing yourself to the YK Delta?
Of course. Well, my name is Trina Stewart. I am the Rural Program Coordinator here at Campfire Alaska. I'm currently sitting at my desk in Anchorage, but I run the Rural Program for the agency, which reaches out to communities all across the YK Delta and beyond in Alaska. I am from Anchorage, Alaska, born and raised here, and have a mother and father in town, as well as a sister who is currently in school in Portland, but coming back home soon, and have been with Campfire since 2013. So have been working with the agency and with the Rural Program for a few years now.
Wow, thank you for that, Trina. Do you mind explaining what Campfire's role is in Alaska and what the Rural Program is?
Absolutely. So Campfire Alaska is a council of Campfire National. And here in Alaska, we have four youth programs going on throughout the year. Our biggest one is the school age program, which is based here in the Anchorage area. We serve the Anchorage and Eagle River schools, about 30 of them, and that is before and after school programming throughout September through May. And then in the summertime, we have the rural program. We also have a residential camp on the Kenai Lake and day camps here in town at Alaska Pacific University called Silamio, as well as summer adventure programs, which are based out of some of our schools. So lots of opportunities throughout the whole year for school-age youth to come and just find their sparks and find the best in themselves and others. We do all sorts of programming activities from health and wellness to cold water and boating safety to outdoor games and sports and team building. The rural program in particular, we're a pretty unique format in that we bring in our staff to our Anchorage site and we train them for 2 weeks and then place them onto teams, and they fly out to rural Alaskan communities to deliver a summer camp experience to communities, again, throughout the YK Delta and throughout the rest of the state. We're in communities for 2 to 4 weeks at a time, delivering a day camp-like experience for the kids as well as for the community members. We love bringing in community input and community values, and we do community events, inviting adults and elders and parents to come join us for potlucks and tie-dye night and s'mores around the campfire and those sorts of things. And our biggest emphases in the rural program, again, are cold water safety, teaching kids about how to be safe on boats, how to wear their life jackets, how to be safe in the water, giving them those swimming opportunities that can be few and far in between in the busy summer months, as well as health and wellness. We've been doing a lot of work over the last several years to develop a curriculum that teaches kids about their own definitions of wellness and what that means to them. And it goes into not just the physical aspects of health, but into the mental and the emotional and the spiritual aspects of wellness as well.
Wow, it sounds like Campfire does a lot, and not just and that's only like the rural program going on. So you mentioned that Campfire is doing the rural communities. How many how long are teams in those communities?
It depends on a specific community. This year, the sessions are 2 weeks and 4 weeks long. So in the YK Delta, we'll be serving 19 communities in that region. All of those programs are 4 weeks long. So 5 days a week, we're looking at 20 days of program in each of those communities.
Wow, that's incredibly valuable for the youth in our communities. Having, you know, that kind of structure on a almost daily basis. So how do the communities get chosen for Campfire to go out there?
That's a great question. We only go to communities on an invitation basis. And so we do outreach in the fall. I will be at the Elders and Youth Conference in the fall as AFN, and as well as, you know, we've got lists of contact folks that we've been just in partnership with over the years. So we reach out to folks in the fall, and communities that are interested in having Campfire out, they typically will call me and I'll set them up with the appropriate paperwork, and we'll kind of talk through, well, what could Campfire look like in your community? So folks can get, it's more of communities actually select Campfire to come out to their communities in a way.
Okay. So what is a good contact number or email for communities that are listening to the show right now? They're like, man, Campfire sounds awesome and we want it in our community. How can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. They can give us a call or email. So my direct email address is tstewart@campfireak.org. They can also give me a call at 907-257-8843. And they could also call Campfire's main line, and they could connect them to, any of the folks running the rural program, which the main office number is 907-279-3551.
Okay. 279-3551.
Yes.
Okay. So is there a time frame that the community or a community contact or a community member or a tribal council that wants Campfire to come to their home, essentially, is there a time frame for them to submit a request?
Sure. Yeah, we do try to work along timelines, but we're also conscious and aware of, all communities have their different timelines, and we're all wearing lots of different hats, and so we ask that folks send in their requests to us by the end of December to start planning for the following summer. So for example, if they were to reach out to me by December 31st of this year, we could get them on the schedule for 2019's summer schedule. However, it's on a first come, first serve basis. And so if we don't get all the requests in by December, we'll just continue to reach out to folks throughout January and February. To see who is available and wants to have us out for the summer. So I would say our schedule is typically solidified by the beginning of February. So it's best to reach out to us during the early winter months to express interest and start to talk about some of those planning elements of scheduling and number of youth to accept and those sorts of things.
Okay. So going on to the youth, is there an age limit for participants in Campfire activities?
We like to serve all ages. So we welcome all kids ages 5 to 17. And we ask that, if younger ones, 3 and 4-year-olds, if they would like to come as well, we just ask that a parent or an older teenager accompany those really little ones to help just manage their safety and supervision. And additionally, again, we love to have community events. So we'll have even some young adult nights for, folks that, want to come join the kids for some basketball and or just some community events, bringing the folks in for potlucks and cultural dance and those kinds of things. So we love to bring in the adults as well when they're available during what we know is a very, very busy subsistence time for everyone.
And having Campfire or having activities for youth to participate in during this busy time of year, I think, is highly valuable. So
yeah.
Thank you for being able to provide this experience for the youth in our region?
Well, we're just so grateful to be a part of it. It's a pretty, just a pretty amazing exchange experience that all of us get to have. It's just been, it's been such an honor to be part of the program and to hear about all the learning that even we go through when we go to communities and get to know all of our different villages and the cultures and histories there. It's just been a really incredible partnership we've had with the region.
Nice. So thank you again. So now that we discussed exactly what communities would need to do for Campfire to come out to their home and the age limit of participants, what does a day in Campfire actually look like?
It is full of fun and games and some learning is brought in there too. We typically start at noon. We recognize that in the summertime, we tend to stay up late and sleep in late a little bit. So we start at noon, Tuesdays through Saturdays, and we'll start with an hour of lunch. We're very lucky to be working with the food bank and a state program to bring summer food service program out to our community. So kids start the day with a meal, and then we go into program activities from 12:30, 1 o'clock on to 4:30. And that can vary from day to day. Some days it might be that, you know, we all head to the waterfront and go swimming for the day. It could also be that we're doing food label relays and learning about My Plate, or talking about the stress jar and doing emoji charades and talking about emotional recognition and expression. We do lots of team building games, so lots of capture the flag and kickball and variations of tag games that are just so fun to bring out to the kids. We do a lot of outdoor ed and exploration as well. I was just talking to a team last week that said that their highlight of the week was showing kids the magnifying glasses and taking the kids on a walk, and the kids were so excited to look at the bugs through their magnifying glasses. And we just get to put a new lens on the environments around our kids, and they get to see it from a whole new perspective and explore it and learn to love it. And so we take the kids outside as much as we can, and we also do lots of arts and crafts. We try to use recycled materials as much as we can, you know, make do and make pinatas out of the cardboard and other craft supplies and whatnot. And again, a heavy emphasis on wellness. So we're really excited to be bringing out some new activities this year on dental hygiene, teaching kids about brushing their teeth and plaque and flossing and how the gums and the teeth are related, and just bring in some really fun interactive games to health lessons. You know, we've got challenge courses that are all about heart rate, and we also have challenge courses that are all about how to make goals for yourself and how to pursue those goals. And what does it mean when an obstacle comes up in life? How do you get around it? How do you get over it? Teaching some kids just some exciting life skills that they can carry on throughout the summer and throughout the school year. Anyways, again, at 4:30, we serve another meal. So supper time is from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. Again, that's for all ages. And then we take a break. Everyone goes home to reconnect with family and get some dinner and some rest. And then from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock is evening programming. And that can vary depending on the community. It could be teen night with the teenagers. It could just be extended programming with the kids. We could do board games or more arts and crafts for playing kickball out in the field. Or it's a community event, and we have folks coming over to help plant microgreens with us, or to do some coloring therapy with their kids, any of those kinds of things.
Nice. So a lot of various activities hitting on many different social and emotional well-being. I think, again, you know, that's very needed in a lot of our communities and just our youth in general, not just here, but in, you know, the United States as well. So all these fun activities are being provided in our rural communities for
youth between 5 years old to 17, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes a little younger if possible, or if their older siblings are there. And also adults are welcome to participate in Campfire as well if they had the time. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And we understand that, you know, again, parents and adults and elders are so busy in the summertime, but if anyone wants to come by and offer to, you know, teach the kids something that is, have a cultural lesson integrated, you know, sometimes we have elders who come and say, like, hey, I would love to teach the kids Yupik dance, and Campfire will make this space for that elder to come in and teach our kids. We would love to incorporate more of that cultural learning into our wellness, because being connected to culture is such a big part of wellness. And so we really encourage adults to reach out to us when we're in town and offer a hand or offer an hour, and we're happy to set up the space and facilitate the group and the kids to have that kind of learning experience.
Okay. And for our listeners, do you mind letting them know where Campfire is currently at, like which communities Campfire is in?
Absolutely. So we are in 10 communities in the YK Delta at the moment, 12 in total. So for the whole month of June, we will be in Kotlik, Tinunik, Akiak, Congiganak, Pictus Point, Atmosluk, Bethel, Marshall, Napakiak, and Aniak.
All right. So if any of our listeners are from those communities, you know, feel free to reach out to the Campfire Rule staff there and see what, if you have something you want to share with the youth there, you know, feel free to reach out to them. I do want to say that when I was in Marshall a couple years ago, working alongside Campfire, the kids there took me out fly fishing, and I've never been fly fishing before, and that was a super, like, just fun day. I think it was on one of the days off or something, and we were just going for a walk, and there just happened to be kids over there on the bridge, probably like 8 or 9 years old, and they already know how to fly fish, and they're like, hey, this is how you do it. And ever since then, you know, I've just been looking forward to being a part of the community in that aspect. So thank you for, you know, having us along. And by us, I'm talking about the diabetes department from YKHC joining you guys out there during the summer.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Ray. I was just sharing with, we have another staff incoming today, and I was like, this is Ray's third year with us. We're so grateful for our partnership with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. You guys have been one of the main reasons that we're able to reach so many communities, and that we've been able to reach them with such amazing curriculum around health and wellness, diabetes prevention, tobacco cessation. Ray, along with you know, some of your coworkers last fall, we've been doing so much work to revamp and rebuild that curriculum to be relevant to a camp setting, to a rural setting, and to Alaska Native cultures. And we're just so grateful for that partnership. It's been a really fun collaboration.
So speaking of collaboration, if community members want to become rural staff members, how are they able to sign up?
We would love to bring more Alaskans into Campfire. It's just such a great way to get some professional training on how to work with kids and how to run a youth program, and just what an incredible way to give back to your own community as well. We would love to get our recruitment messaging out to more Alaskans, both, you know, in rural and urban areas. So anyone interested in working for Campfire should check out our website. It is campfireak.org. And if you're looking for jobs, you type in campfireak.org/jobs. And there are descriptions of all of our summer programs and all of our position postings. So folks who are interested in working for our rural program in particular, they can go ahead and go on there and fill out an application. We typically start hiring for the summer team in December. So, and then we're hiring on a rolling basis until our team is filled, and we hire a team of 20 to 30 people each year, just depending on our schedule and our lineup. So really strongly encourage folks to reach out early and get in touch with us, you know, in the winter and spring. We usually have openings through March, sometimes even April. So the sooner the better to get that application in, and then we'll have an interview process and go from there.
Nice. So do you have anything else you'd like to share with the YK Delta?
Yeah, well, I would just like to say thank you again so much. We're so excited for the next few weeks of programming to come, and we will, we're also going to be in 9 different communities in July. Would you like me to list those communities as well so folks know that we're coming out?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
So starting on July 3rd, and we'll be there for the whole month of July, we're going to be in Alakanuk, Chivac, Napuskiak, Tuntutuliak, St. Mary's, Lower Kalskag, Crooked Creek, Quigilinguk, and Chuethbalak. So come July, keep a lookout for us, and we will be in all 9 of those communities.
Nice. Well, that's all I have today, Trina. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and I want to thank our listeners and KYUK for allowing us to host this Wellness Wednesday.
Well, thank you so much, Ray. It's been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So, again, for any communities that are interested in finding out more about Campfire, feel free to, it is okay if you give them the contact information again?
Yes, absolutely. So if you're interested in having Campfire out to your community, please send me an email at tstewart@campfireak.org. You can also call us at 907-257-8843 or 907-279-3551.
Thank you, Trina. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on Wellness Wednesday, and we'll see you next month.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK. A show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.